You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome for another fiery episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob. I'm a little bit nervous right now, but regardless, I'm very, very thankful for you. And
he's also grateful for the fire extinguisher stage right. Yes, because as we were debating whether or not we should even answer this question before we took it on, I'm sure once you hear the question, you'll probably start thinking what I was thinking. But in an effort to help as many people as possible, here we go. Jeez. All right, Rob, play the question. This doesn't even deserve support.
Stop
anyway,
it.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Isaac, and I own an architectural surveying company. So basically what I do is I measure existing houses and buildings using ground-based LiDAR systems. And those systems produce 3D point clouds, which we later use to produce the drawings. I was wondering if there is any type of specific drone or platform which would allow me to also capture a 3D point cloud of a house or like a rooftop space or something, specifically something that's not going to require me to spend a lot of money, expensive drones and expensive LiDAR equipment. If there's something at the lower end of the ladder, I'd be interested to know. So if you guys can maybe give me some clarification or explain to me what products are available and the platforms that are associated with it, as well as how much it would cost me. I greatly appreciate any information you guys can give me. I love your podcasts. I follow them all the time. Even though I'm relatively naive when it comes to drones, I'm just learning about it, but I have been following your podcast for a while and I find them very informative. So keep it up. And if you guys can answer my question, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Isaac, thank you very much for the question. And this is definitely a very steep learning curve when it comes to learning drones, particularly the kind of complex work that you are attempting to do with them. And so we're going to do our best.
Hold on. Let's stop. Stop. Okay. Let me ask you some questions, Rob.
Okay.
So we have a surveyor, right? He just said he's a surveyor, right?
I don't think he actually said that.
Can we play the question again then?
Yes, we can.
Hi, my name is Isaac, and I own an architectural surveying company. So basically what I do is I measure...
Okay, let's stop.
Okay, go ahead.
No. What are you going to say?
Well, I just don't know. I mean, I know I'm picking this thing apart, but architectural surveying company, is that the same as a surveyor? I don't know. But we can make the assumption.
Out of benefit of the doubt, I don't know either. And
we can make the assumption that he is a surveyor.
Okay. Anytime I hear surveyor, when I think of surveying, I think of highly precise measurements that legal decisions are made upon.
Yeah.
And those legal decisions and those lines and those drawings are the basis of architectural drawings, construction blueprints, VDC, BIM. Like, it's the basis of everything, right? So if you screw up the basic survey, whether it's a plot line survey, Alta survey, this architectural survey he's talking about. In fact, I'm going to look it up.
So would you use point clouds for that kind of work?
I'm having to withdraw saying something in my mind really, really fast. So
I can take it.
No. What value is there in beating you up or anyone up intellectually, right? That's just being pedantic. That doesn't help anybody. Okay. So I just think of, when I think of surveying in general, I think of a drawing or design that helps illustrate the fundamental science of how we are going to build or renovate something, okay? So, in looking up architectural survey, process of understanding a building's characteristics and their appropriate graphical and visual documentation through, yep, through the analysis, section, synthesis, and representation of architectural characteristics. But still, so I like the fact that there's visual in there, right?
It's very different than the kind of surveying that I think you're thinking.
Yes, probably, but still, when I think of surveying, I think of highly precise, smart mofo, okay?
Okay.
Now, why did I say this? There's a couple things. I'm not answering this question. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Okay. We have someone in architectural surveying, right? Who's making drawings. They're still drawings, by the way. And they're supposed to be accurate representations, just so you know. There are...
Accurate is a very broad term, but go ahead.
Oh, pound it. Amen, brother. Amen. Okay. And in fact, in reading some more of these definitions, it looks like there are federal law requirements on who can do this. So, it looks like there are some requirements, maybe not like a license, for example, but it looks like there are some requirements. Okay. We have a surveyor, highly precise, asking about a drone to do photogrammetry. Okay. Couple of lessons in this question. Number one, we have someone using LiDAR, which is an active technology, who's asking questions about photogrammetry. What does this tell us? That people trust LiDAR. It's a proven science. It's easily understood and applicable.
Okay.
Photogrammetry, not easily understood. Complex, right? Nuanced, deep systems and a multitude of them that go together to create your deliverable, right?
And it's a lot younger than the LiDAR systems,
negative,
right? It's not.
Negative. Photogrammetry is almost 100 years older than LiDAR.
Is that, let me restate that. Is it younger in its current form, the way that, for example, you're teaching it?
Fair enough. Great question. Yes.
Okay.
Very good question. I love being challenged intellectually, by the way. I just appreciate people who aren't afraid to just be like, well, what about this, right? And it's not like there's no attitude. It's just like a great question. Anyway, okay. This shows us, LiDAR versus photogrammetry, that even though people who are known to be very accurate in LiDAR, you should have zero expectation of the expectation of that person and their ability to deliver accurate photogrammetry. I will never forget going to the ASPRS conference 2 years ago in Denver and the LiDAR conference. And people were like, no, photogrammetry is not as accurate as LiDAR. And then I watched the presentation and this guy is arguing that a Phantom 4 Pro has an overall accuracy of like 5 inches or something. And then that same guy presented at the Pix40 user conference. I'm not going to say this because I don't want to ruin the guy's career. Long story short is he made an accuracy proclamation that was easily provable that was not true. Let's just put it that way. Okay. Okay. So LiDAR versus photogrammetry. Why did I ask that question? Because it showcases a fundamental representation that in the surveying, architecture, engineering industries, a lot of people are very used to using LiDAR. It also showcases pricing theory, man. They are taking LiDAR seriously. It's a $100,000, $30,000 piece of equipment, right? You take it pretty seriously. You don't realize that a $2,000 drone and a $2,000 GPS can produce exactly the same thing, if not more lifelike, and if not better for the client than the LiDAR, right?
Certainly more versatile.
Yes. Oh, a whole lot more versatile, right? You can only fly a LiDAR so high. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and you can only create so much. At some point, if you really want it to look pretty, you're going to have to put photogrammetry on top of it anyways, right?
Yes. And thank you, God. Yes, Rob, which showcases the fundamental problem that I wanted to get at, which is most of these people who are using LiDAR also use photogrammetry, but typically, and I saw this in Vegas with one guy who was renting LiDAR to people, they just set up an A7R Mark III and, you know, shoot imagery while they're doing LiDAR to get the lifelike stuff. And then they have these massive holes in the data set and they're like, well, you can't see the lifelike stuff there, but at least you know where stuff is. And it's like, you cannot sell people on a product you do not know how to produce. You are going to fail. Case in point. Okay.
Especially when there is a way to produce it.
Correct, right? And you're not producing lifelike photogrammetry with a single grid at nadir. Not happening, okay? Double grid, slightly oblique angle with what type of overlap, right? So it goes to show that there is this huge divide that people think LiDAR is great, it's accurate, and they respect it, right? Do not, this is showcases a great opportunity for entrepreneurs. Do not believe the status quo and just go along that LiDAR is great and we're going to use LiDAR, right? Because what did this cause? This caused these people to not respect photogrammetry, to not research it, and to not really understand the capabilities or the workflow and the efficiencies therein and how it could save them. Which brings me to point number two. We don't know what we don't know, right? We have a surveyor, Rob. He's making legal decisions, right? Does this not go to show that what you don't know that you don't know can be career ending?
Okay.
Here's what I'm saying. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. I get it. He's calling in. What drone do I use to do X, Y, and Z? We've probably answered this question three times in the last year. Okay. That being said, we don't know what we don't know. If the research and respect for photogrammetry is at the level that it is, and people assume because they listen to people who just sell drones, oh, you can make a map with a Mavic. You can make a map with an X5, right?
You can.
Yeah, you can also end your effing career doing it. You can literally end your scientific career by listening to those people. This is why salespeople have always had very negative connotations.
And you're saying that why? Because it's just never going to be able to compete with the people who understand how to do it with the right equipment. It also goes with the right workflow, etc.
Well, here's the thing, right? You know, he's in, let's say that he were to use photogrammetry under his current basis or even his current attitude and track of mind, right? I mean, like, here's a guy who says he knows how to make point clouds and then uses the definition of the word point cloud while discussing point cloud, okay? There are, I know a lot of people may not be intuitive, or maybe I'm assuming too much here, but I would assume safely so, based off of what I've seen in the industry, that photogrammetry is still not respected by a lot of people who use LiDAR. But it's not a function of the science behind photogrammetry or the science behind LiDAR. It's a function of the impetuous attitudes of the executives at these companies. It's also a factor of the impetuousness of corporate America, right? Hey, I know how to do X, Y, and Z, and then they'll figure it out along the way, because really everyone's just trying to climb the corporate ladder. And that kills my heart and it kills my spirit. And I'm so glad I'm not a part of corporate America.
Well, I think that same thing happens in just the, we'll call it the UAV space in general of companies. I mean, we've talked about that, right? Of one person companies taking on a job, even though they don't know how to do it. And then they'll reach out to us, help. But another thing about LiDAR too, is I think you've got people who probably have, and I'm not suggesting that this is our caller situation, but they've spent a lot of money. So yeah, they're going to be down on something that's a lot less expensive, right? They've got a lot of money invested that in theory puts them above someone who doesn't have that equipment. So they're going to protect that. And there's a lot of reasons why. You got to be able to sift through that if you're a person who's going to, kind of make your way in this business. It doesn't even I don't know. But people that you're talking about, they don't matter.
They don't. But it reminds me of the metaphor of what's going on in the wake of the coronavirus, right? If you were always open to lifelong learning, if you were always preparing yourself intellectually, if you were always preparing financially because you knew a rainy day was coming, if you were always preparing your business to be able to pivot and go online, right? You are now learning how valuable all that prep was in the wake of an emergency, right? This is my ideology about everything in life, is how are you going to prepare yourself in the wake of an emergency? How can you always be learning to bettering yourself, to better understand finances, to better understand buying real estate, to better understand efficiency in your business, to better understand relationships, right? This goes to show, right? This metaphor of LiDAR photogrammetry, asking about the right drone, not giving enough credence to photogrammetry, right? The pricing theory and how companies are like, hey, we're learning that other surveyors are using drones and we think it's great too. How do we use it, right? That ideology is not going to create a successful business, because when the storm hits, when the emergency is going to happen, you're going to get crushed. And you know what? It's going to be guys like me who have been open to lifelong learning, who have been preparing myself, even though it's not fun, even though your wife questions you all the time, even though your friends laugh at you like, oh, why are you worried about that right now? Because you know what? When the shit does hit the fan, I get to watch everyone run around like chickens with their heads cut off. And meanwhile, I'm saying, you know what? All those times that I question myself on whether I should be learning, preparing myself, stocking up on goods, you know, knowing these things, right? Now, all those times I question myself, should I really have been doing that? I now know it's worth it. My point and analogy is that, like the virus and like society, where humans are learning, that if they would have been innately more open to learning, innately more open to learning how to better put themselves in a great financial position, if they were just open to learning more, they would have been better prepared for the emergency flood that hit, right? These guys that are trusting LiDAR, it's an expensive tech. It costs $100,000, it better work, right? What do you mean there's a $4,000 drone that can do the exact same thing? But oh yeah, I have to learn how to be resourceful, not just count on money to make this crap happen, right? So my point is that these companies that have not been open and slowly willing to learn, how does photogrammetry work? What's the science behind it? That way he would understand exactly what kind of drone to get. And he would be able to answer those questions himself. He's now in the wake of surveying companies who can't do certain things. They can send drones out. They can keep getting their property surveys. They can keep making money. And you know what? It's the companies that have done the lifelong learning. It's the people like Jason Danello who have browbeaten other people and himself in learning how to create the most efficient systems to create these Alta surveys, these property line surveys, right, for his company. And now he has the systems in place. His people are ready to run, and the virus hit and his business has had nothing but an increase in revenue. The reason I bring this up is because I think it's so important as human beings, Rob, as people who want to help other people, that we have to draw these analogies and say this impetuousness about LiDAR versus photogrammetry, right? It's only going to hurt this particular person. And we're glad that he asked us the question, right? But if he would have actually respected photogrammetry like he did LiDAR and gone into just some basic research about the basic fundamental steps of how photogrammetry works, parallax, what are the three factors of GSD? If you understood those right away, he would now know what drone to buy and he wouldn't be asking this question, right? I bring up this analogy, I bring this up because I think it's so important for our members, for the people who are really listening to this show, to understand if you are not always willing to lifelong learn, you are going to get caught up in a problem that you won't know how to solve, and you will be screwed. I honestly believe, after seeing this virus and seeing one of the most craziest issues in society of my entire life, I seriously now realize why all the nerds in the back of the room of class, or maybe they sat in the front of the room in your class, whatever, why all those kids, even after years of being bullied, would still snicker and laugh. And you know why? Because they knew the value of putting in the time. They knew the value of tenacity. They knew the value of lifelong learning. And 20 years later, they knew they'd be looking back at you, the high school jock that bullied them, and they would be laughing because they would realize that they understood how important it was to always be learning, to always be bettering yourself. And as one of our good friends who wore the orange shirt that he was saying, Paul Trainee, Andy, one of my favorite students of all time.
Yeah, Andy. He's such a good guy.
He is. And he said, smarter every day. And I bring it up because I had a picture from the Smarter Every Day podcast, literally in my slide deck, to prove a point about linear rolling shutter. And he brought it up. He's like, that's smarter every day. And I was like, what? I looked at the slide. And oh yeah. What is that? And then realized it's epic podcast. And like, it just goes to show, and Andy's such a perfect example, because you can never judge a book by the cover. You'd look at Andy and you'd be like, hey, he's a nice guy. And you would have no idea how intuitive he is and how smart he is. And just, you know what
he's
I mean?
He's a good networker too. He's a good people person.
But he is a good people person and he is a great person. Andy, I'm grateful for you. Now, that being said, we also have to be aware of the converse, right? Of the, you can't judge a book by its cover. Just because someone does well in their Zoom meetings and they treat people well in corporate America and they're all, you know, and they're subject matter experts, it doesn't mean they're subject matter experts. And this is why, in fact, the toolkit for geniuses, this is like rule number 6 or 7. I didn't realize I'm already following the first like 12 of the 15 rules of toolkits of geniuses. I had no idea. Rule number 7, I think it's number 7, don't quote me, is that whenever you are reading journalism or media or reading a book, always know the source and understand the context of confirmation bias within the source. And I think that goes way beyond media because you're seeing on Facebook, everyone just like, you know, they just spew out what they hear on TV. And it's really depressing because when you move outside of the United States, you realize how much TV controls the entire conversation, left wing, right wing, same damn bird, guys, same damn bird. Wow. I don't know what just happened.
Are we done? What are we doing here?
I'm sorry, Rob. Well, I guess since Robbo's done and I've been on my high horse this entire time, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that. And so hopefully there's value. I mean, there is value. Hopefully you can pull it out.
Did you understand what I'm trying to say?
I think you're trying to say various things, but yeah.
I am trying to say a multitude of things at once, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that surprise you at all?
No, of course not. But I don't know. I think this would be a great podcast to... One of the things that I know that we don't do a great job of is engage on Twitter, for example. And this would be a great one to post and then engage with it, right? And see what people think about it. I don't know. I mean, because this is essentially starting a conversation. Or maybe the question asker started a conversation. Because... you're not liking that, I can tell.
No, I was thinking about why not put it on LinkedIn instead of Twitter where you can have a little bit more conversation. But then I was like thinking about the audience of LinkedIn and just like a LinkedIn is fake America on steroids. Holy cow. It is climbing the corporate
there.
Ladder.
Yeah.
Oh my. So I was just thinking, well, what if I were to...
There's too many realtors and mortgage brokers on
What if I were to put this LinkedIn. In LinkedIn?
Maybe that's just because of my profile, but nonetheless.
The only comments that you would get would be protectionist and not well thought out and would only make people feel better. There would not be objective conversation going on. That's what kills me about Twitter is that it showcases the ideology of the American adult, which is pathetic. We have to be able to have conflicting conversations. There's a reason I'm really forthright, right? I want to see how someone's going to react. That may not always be the best way of going about it, right? But at the same time, in order to make intellectual decisions, we have to be able to objectively think about both sides of the argument, whether or not it makes us feel good or not. Have you ever wondered why are there so many intellectual people? How come there are so many smart people? And how come there are not many smart, wealthy people? Maybe it's not IQ. Maybe it's EQ. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob, and I just want to mention that if you really want the answer to the question that was asked, you really should take one of the mapping boot camps, right? That's where all the information is.
For sure. But right? we did answer that question, I think, even like 2 weeks ago.
So. No, I understand. But to go deeper, particularly the kind of work that is being done by our caller, a boot camp is a great way to go because you're going to learn all that you need to do, but you're going to have to make an investment, so...
Yeah. And also to anyone who may be like our caller, don't think that I'm getting on our caller because he's asking for help. He's not asking for help. He got on the ego train and then asked for help, right?
Oh boy. I should have ended it when we...
We got to, if we're going to be successful entrepreneurs, we have to be able to rip the mask off, humble ourselves. It's not easy. Trust me. It's not easy. Just be willing to try. That's step one. Okay. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. I'm grateful for you. I would actually really appreciate to hear what people's thoughts were on this particular episode because I kind of intellectually laid it out all on the line. So.
That's why I want to hear what people have to say. Like up yours or...
So it could, you know,
great
Rob,
point,
it could
or...
it could go like GFY, right? You know, like totally. When some people are like, hey, Paul, I heard you say GFY to someone. What does it mean? And I say, grateful for you, right? And then there's
and it very well may mean that, right?
Yeah. Peter,
you know what?
Peter knows this joke quite well.
That's how I'm going to start using GFY. Just a mess. I'm going to send that to Dave and John. Is that his son's name?
Yeah.
GFY, Dave and John.
But when you send it to guys like that, it's actually like a legitimate thank you. Like you are really grateful for them.
Well, yeah.
Right? That's kind of the joke.
It doesn't have to be sarcasm.
It's kind of the joke in itself.
No, but I want to use it seriously. Anyways.
Well, here, I'll give you an instance. Pulled up to the house the other day and my neighbor is out drinking wine in the driveway and we live on a cul-de-sac so everyone can see her. All right. And, you know, we were talking about how neighbors are getting along and everything. And she was like, yeah, and we have this one East Coast neighbor. And I was like, oh boy, oh boy, here we go. And she said something about how impatient he was and whatnot. And I was like, you know, I really understand the struggle because my wife is here from Albuquerque and I'm grew up in DC and I understand the battles that he is facing. And I hope you have a great day. So on that bombshell, Rob.
Ouch.
That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul. Hope you enjoyed.
I'm Rob. Thank you.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.